Thanks for listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now, coming to you live from the banks of the Willamette River, it's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
Online at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620kpoj.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Welcome to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman, and you're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's smart talk station, and the word of the day in the Portland metro area is snow. I keep hearing rumors about snow here in the Portland metro area. That would be really cool because I am sick and tired of gray. We have had some sun. I'll take sun over snow, but snow's always fun, and it thrills my daughter, and it makes us happy. So let's hope we get a little snow, but remember to drive safely and take good care. Apparently, it's going to hit at some point tonight. So that's the word of the day, snow. It's snow. We got snow coming to Portland. What else do we have? We also have a great show for you today. The first hour, I'm going to deliver a little monologue that I think might upset you. So you might want to hang in there. Okay, the number is here, just in case you have your pen handy, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. In the second hour, Rabbi Lerner is going to be our guest. But because he is a rabbi and it is today Shabbat, he will not be performing the interview live. So this is a recorded interview, but it is sensational. If you don't know who Rabbi Lerner is, he is an author of a tremendous new book about how to create peace in the Middle East called Embracing Israel-Palestine. Rabbi Michael Lerner, you can learn more about him at tikkun.org or spiritualprogressives.org. And in the third hour, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have a couple of different options. I really liked the dealer's choice option. Last week we did a Mad as Hell, What Makes You Mad as Hell, and people just called in. It was kind of dealer's choice, potpourri. I really like it. I may do that. I may do something else. I'm going to feel out the vibe and see which way I go. You can send me an email at adam at madashellinamerica. I love getting your emails. I will return it. I try to be prompt. And you can join the show on Facebook at Mad as Hell in America. It's real easy. Go to Facebook and type in Mad as Hell in America. So, a lot of stuff we could talk about. But today, I've got something on my mind that's pretty dark. It's the video of the American soldiers urinating on dead Taliban. Have you seen this? Have you heard about it? If you haven't, the upshot is that LiveLeak.com released a video of American soldiers urinating on the faces and bodies of dead Taliban and laughing about it. The soldiers can be heard joking, "Have a great day, buddy," and "Golden like a shower," and kind of, "Yeah," as they groan with relief. Now, immediately afterwards, Representative Alan West from Florida, that bastion of moral fortitude, came out and defended the soldiers and said that, quote, "all of these over-emotional pundits and armchair quarterbacks need to chill," end quote. And then he went on to condemn our moral outrage over the incident by telling us to, quote, "shut our mouths because," quote, "war is hell." And, you know, when I first heard about it, I just pushed it out of my mind because these things just keep coming at us, you know? I mean, I was driving along and I heard some secondhand report on the news. And like so many of the horrors we hear about each and every day on this planet, it just kind of bounced right out of my head. And then someone sent it to me in my email and said, "Hey, have you seen this?" And to be honest with you, I didn't even want to look at it, you know? Because why add that, something so horrible and so unnecessary, to the litany of atrocities we must face just to get through an ordinary day? But then I felt like I had an obligation to look at it, you know? Because not looking at it was also a choice. I mean, I had the choice to look at it, but I also had the choice not to look at it. Each was a choice. I had a choice to look away. And this time I really wanted to look away because, quite frankly, I knew I wasn't going to like what I saw. But in the end, we have to insist on staring the ugly beast down, because if we don't, then we foreclose on the possibility of a response. And if we cannot respond to the horror we see around us, then we cannot reasonably expect to have justice, because justice depends on our ability to respond. And justice, you see, doesn't exist in this world. Justice is what we brought with us to heal this world. Anyway, I'm off point, because what I'm trying to say is that I forced myself to watch it, and what I saw sickened me. American soldiers, my fellow citizens, literally peeing on the faces of their dead enemies. I felt sick to my stomach. And my first impulse, you know, was to blame the soldiers, to find fault with the individuals who had made this choice to disgrace themselves and their uniform and their country by engaging in such a dehumanizing, demoralizing, and utterly disgusting act. And I know that these people do not represent the mainstream of our military, who struggle valiantly to retain their humanity and their integrity in the face of impossible circumstances. But as I thought about it a while, I began to see their actions in a broader context. And even though I fundamentally disagree with Alan West, because he wants to use the hell of war as a way to minimize the deeper implications of these actions, there is an important point to explore here. Now, it doesn't relieve these men of their responsibility. They are individuals who made a despicable choice, and they must and will be held accountable. And yet, I cannot separate the actions of these men, these ordinary American citizens sent to a strange land to kill for a cause that makes no sense, with no shred of moral ground to stand on and no end in sight, from the society that sent them. Because when you ship human beings off to fight a brutal, irrelevant, senseless, totally immoral war, is it fair to be surprised and shocked when they behave in ways that are immoral and inhumane? Now, I know we want to keep it local and make it about the individual choices that they made. But see, I want to challenge that. Because it is all too easy to point our fingers at those who commit crimes and divorce ourselves from our own complicity. And I know that's a challenging idea, but stay with me. Because when we do that, it reassures us that, you know, that we are the righteous. And it places blame outside of ourselves, with them, with the soldiers, those criminals, those people out there. It's not me. But what I'm saying, and what made me feel so sick to my stomach, wasn't just the deplorable actions of these men, but that I felt directly responsible for what I saw. And this is where I have a big problem with Alan West, who accepts the immorality of endless war, but uses it to defend any immorality that might follow. But I want to turn that equation on its head and say to all of us that immorality that we see in those soldiers belongs to us. Those men represent our country, a country that sends men and women to fight illegal wars for profit in the name of nothing more than empire. And that country, our country, has become morally bankrupt. We can't pin that on a few bad Marines because it makes us feel better about our own personal moral standing in the world, because the stats tell the real story. Nearly 5,000 soldiers are dead from the war in Iraq, and 30,000 more are critically wounded for life. For a war based on lies. In Afghanistan, there are nearly 1,800 dead American soldiers and nearly 2,800 dead coalition forces and nearly 20,000 wounded for life. Red Cross reports that nearly 1 million Iraqis died in that crime against humanity called the Iraq War, and another 4 million refugees in their own home. In Afghanistan, a mission that was originally called Operation Infinite Justice, but was later switched to Operation Enduring Freedom because somehow that seemed less hypocritical, there was no way to tell how many innocent Afghanis have been killed, because it has been such an unrelenting madhouse from day one. We cannot reach into the chaos and get a figure, even if we wanted to. We've got 21-year-old kids flying drones over Pakistan and Afghanistan, using joysticks from a base in Las Vegas to drop bombs indiscriminately on civilian neighborhoods as if it were an Xbox. We've exploded thousands and thousands of tons of depleted uranium in both Iraq and Afghanistan that are going to poison those countries and their people and this planet for millions of years. In America, there are four factories that produce depleted uranium, and in each factory, 1,666 tons of depleted uranium is made each day, and now multiply that times four. That's 6,664 tons worth of depleted uranium produced in our country every single day. Now, multiply that by 365 days, and you get 79,698,000 tons of depleted uranium produced in America every year. Here is Lauren Murray, former Lawrence and Livermore National Lab scientist, lecturing on the effects of DU after the first Iraq war.
Something is terribly wrong. These soldiers brought the depleted uranium home in their bodies, in their duffel bags, in their semen. They internally contaminated their wives and partners. The birth defects were deemed to be very, very serious in 67% of the babies born after the war. They were born with legs missing, arms missing, brains missing, eyes missing, organs missing, or horrible blood diseases.
The amount of depleted uranium used on Iraq and Afghanistan in these recent wars makes Desert Storm look like a market test, which is exactly what it was. And they are still using it right now. While I sit beside my microphone, we've got people making money from using radioactive poison, which essentially is a biological weapon in the tens of thousands of tons. And yet we, in light of all that I just mentioned, are going to judge the morally reprehensible behavior of our individual soldiers because it makes us feel morally secure. But if we are really going to look at something, and we really want to get morally outraged, then let's begin at the beginning. Let's begin with a culture of war and violence and aggression that breeds the kind of men who pee on their enemies for fun. Let's talk about a government that wages war for profit because it is good business. Let's talk about a system of ruthless, unbridled capitalism that will poison this planet and deform unborn children for eternity and call it infinite justice, when what they should call it is Operation Mega Abortion, because that's what it is. I don't mean to be ugly here, but the truth is ugly. And we have to look at the naked ugliness we have allowed to occur and take responsibility for it within ourselves. This isn't something happening over there. This is happening right here, in our home, on our streets, in your living room, and in our name, and we cannot sit in the comfort of all that has been afforded to us by these vile, immoral global actions and limit our government to a few individuals, our judgment to a few individuals, because it makes us feel better. Again, I'm not absolving these soldiers of their individual responsibility. They were wrong, and I believe they must be held accountable to their actions and their choices. But I also believe that it is hypocritical for us to use them as scapegoats for our own choices. Because when we do that, when we place blame for the horrors we see in the world as something apart from us, we abdicate our own responsibility. And we do that all the time with war, you know. Make up rules that you can do this and you can't do that, and we need these rules. But when someone breaks the rules, we say, oh, how immoral. But the point is that war is immoral. And when things like this happen, we can't isolate our judgment and compartmentalize our morality into convenient categories that reassure us that we are not the monsters. We must look squarely at this horror and stare deeply into it, beyond it, all the way through it and to the other side, and see ourselves standing there, each and every one of us, who are responsible for the choices our country makes, and then judge righteously. Ourselves, our brothers and our sisters, and together we can then renounce war as a community. There is no acceptable level of war. War is immoral, period. And if this recent abomination makes you feel as sick and outraged as I am, then good. Then let's stand together to demand accountability, not just from our foot soldiers, but from those vicious one percenters who have gone so mad with greed and power that they would destroy us all in pursuit of what will never satisfy them. But that cannot happen until we refuse to use scapegoats as a way to deflect our own complicity, which justify acceptable levels of immorality. We must stand on that higher ground of our shared responsibility and condemn war forever as one people And when we do, that will be a day to remember. One where justice, the justice we have brought with us to this place, will announce a new day and a new way where we will write a different human history for this century. One where we will end war by using the horror of our own culpability to demand from ourselves and our so-called leaders 1,000 years of peace. Today is that day. And the time for it is always now, if we want it. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Numbers here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. What do you say? Can we end war today? If not today, then when? When do we end war? When will we usher in a new way? We'll be right back.